relived, you could just take that and you could have yourself a full-blown hot take vortex type conversation.
Oh, no, not me. I was having flashbacks.
Welcome to the Darren Smith Show.
This is the big one, boys. This is the one that brings us back. Soon, AM radio will reign king once more.
Ooh, yeah.
Now, here's Darren.
We love you. We love you forever and ever.
On Extra 1360.
All right. Hey there. Greetings to you. It is a Wednesday. It is the 8th day of December for 2021. Good afternoon, everybody. I am Darren Smith. This is Extra 1360. You can find us at AM 1360. It's not the only way to listen to us. If you love radio, you can find us at 101.5, channel number 2, KGB2. You can listen to us via the iHeartRadio app. You can stream us whenever you would like, however you would like, wherever you would like. It's great to be boundless. You can go wherever it is you want to go. I love it when listeners of ours say, hey, we're listening to you in Puerto Vallarta. It's wonderful. It's great. You can even listen well after the fact. It's a little unusual when you send us tweets and texts because you're listening to the show at 7, 8 o'clock at night, but we can adapt. You can subscribe to this show. We make it very easy for you. We'll have it waiting for you whenever you're ready. SportsSD.com, our website. We will quickly promote upcoming content on our website at SportsSD.com. We'll do that here momentarily. And, of course, all of those smart speakers, of which I now have a very complicated relationship. Smart speakers from Siri to Alexa, devices from Roku to Sonos, and everything in between. They will obey your command most of the time, if they're behaving. If they know what's good for them, and they'll start streaming the show on the station. All right, 3 hours today. It's a Wednesday. What's your Wednesday show? That's the old saying here. We have a couple of guests lined up. We'll be doing a little bit of NFL. We'll be doing a little bit of college football. We'll talk a little NFL with Greg Rosenthal of the NFL Network and NFL.com. He's also a podcaster, a very successful podcaster. He's got split personality because he does some NFL stuff. He does a very popular NFL podcast called Around the League. He also does a very blue podcast, a comedy podcast, where they discuss things that we don't normally discuss here on Extra 1360. It's a lot of human body function type things. If you know it, you know it. But Greg Rosenthal, who you hear, you go, wow, that's a smart guy. That's a smart football guy. There's an alter ego there to Greg Rosenthal, man. There is an alter ego to Greg Rosenthal. Maybe some of you are aware of that. Perhaps many of you are not. I'm guessing most of you probably don't care. But there's a lot to him. He's very multidimensional, this Greg Rosenthal. He will join us coming up second hour of the radio program. We'll talk a little USC football coming up in hour number 3. We were this close, unbeknownst to anybody else who works on the show, by the way, we were this close to doing something that would have made me very happy. Going to the United Arab Emirates for an interview today. Going all the way to Dubai to preview the finale of the Formula One racing season. Might have that lined up for tomorrow. We'll see what happens. But we got you for 3. Got all sorts of stuff happening. If you listen to the update, I don't know that that was anybody's first time hearing that news about Fernando Tatis Jr. involved in what is being described as a minor motorcycle accident. Details are really hard to come by. Even for many of us who are well-sourced, details are really hard to come by. This is bizarre. This is a new one. This is a different element. This is something we didn't quite prepare for when Major League Baseball's lockout began last week, that you would have a situation like this. You would have very little detail and no way, no legal way of knowing what it is that actually happened. But to read it from the Union Tribune, Padres star shortstop Fernando Tatis Jr. was involved in a minor accident Sunday, in which he escaped with only minor scrapes, according to sources. A report out of the Dominican Republic said the incident involved a motorcycle and that Tatis was transported to a, quote, medical center for treatment. People familiar with Tatis's status said he was doing normal activities as of Tuesday. The 22-year-old Tatis hit a National League 42 home runs in 2021, his first season in a 14-year, $340 million contract. That's according to the Union Tribune, Kevin Acey, filing that report for you. That's it. That's all anybody knows. Not that I'm any sort of big-time Padre baseball insider. I've hit a stone wall on this. Hey, what do you know? What do you got? You know anything? Anything we could relate to the audience? Got nothing. Got nothing. Barely even get a response. So details are very hard to come by. Hopefully this is all accurate. Hopefully this turns out to be the case. It's in the Dominican Republic, so who knows? Sometimes we've heard about very minor accidents in the past involving other athletes in their off seasons, and it turns out to be something just a little bit more than how it was reported early on. I hope that's not the case. I will just say this, though. He did sign a 14-year, $340 million contract. And I know for sure that in sports, oftentimes, what would be described as any sort of risky behavior, that there are clauses in contracts that prohibit you from doing what would be described, and it's very ambiguous, as risky behavior. Tim Flannery told me stories many years ago that he wasn't even allowed to go surfing according to the language of his contract. Now, did Tim Flannery follow that to the letter of the contract? Of course not. He's a surfer, went out in the ocean all the time. Other guys, you're not allowed to go skiing. You're not allowed to go skydiving. You're not allowed to do a long list of things. I don't know that this isn't or is part of this subject, and certainly not trying to be a narc. This is just the way it goes in sports, but thankfully the reports early on, you know what would be nice, and maybe it's been put out there, and if there's one person and one person who I would trust to update on this, it would be our very own Jim Russell.
Hey, put Tim on the mic.
This is Jim.
It would be great if Fernando himself would just post a picture of him doing what is described here as normal activity.
Well, like, as you say, Darren, this report came out, well, when I saw it, it was 14 hours ago. I saw it last night at like 8:30.
Right.
And I immediately went to his Instagram page. I don't know if you did, but I did. And he posted a video of himself like hiking in the woods in like a tropical forest 12 hours ago. So it was reported 14 hours ago, like 8 p.m. last night, that he was involved in a minor motorcycle accident. But he posted on his Instagram page 12 hours ago at 8 o'clock last night that he was in a tropical forest, like hiking. So
hopefully that's the case.
Yeah.
Hopefully that is the case. By the way, even if there is a clause in his contract that says that he is prohibited from riding a motorcycle, you're not voiding that contract. So, you know, no. I mean, a lot would have to happen for you to even consider such a thing. So, but I do want to at least just put that out there. That was one of the questions that I asked. Is he allowed to, per the language in his contract? And that was the end of that exchange. So, again, I don't know that that's probably just a blip. Probably something we won't even remember in a couple of weeks. Hopefully that's the situation. But it makes for a very unusual dynamic as we say hello to Marty.
What?
Martha, what's going on?
Because today, Marty was at an event, at a community event, a fundraising event, some local feel-good story. And Bob Melvin was there. And you can't ask Bob Melvin about this because they're technically not allowed to have interaction with players. Technically, right? Let's not be naive here. I'm not saying that the Padres are absolutely 100% contacting players, but we'd all be naive to think that none of these teams are contacting any of their own players. We'd be very naive to think about that. There is a little bit of gray area as it relates to injured players and facilities and medical rehabilitation and things along those lines. But for the most part, one of the details of the lockout is that you can't have any interaction with players. Also, part of the lockout is none of these people who we do have access to, when you do get access to Bob Melvin or you do get access to AJ Preller, if that happens, if the Padres decide that that's something that they want, they're not allowed to talk about players. They are literally not allowed to talk about players. So Bob Melvin was out there today. Marty, where were you guys?
We were at the YMCA off Santo Road, so not too far from here.
YMCA off Santo Road.
Mm-hmm.
Where's that? Part of town is that?
Tierra Santa.
Santa.
Like 5 minutes away from here.
Oh, okay.
Right, it's right up. Yeah, I know where that is.
Right.
Yeah. Like 5 minutes from mm-hmm. the station.
It's over by Popeyes.
Yes.
Did you think about stopping at Popeyes?
I did.
Chicken sandwiches for the show?
I did think about it.
I mean, that's what I would have
done. I did think about Popeyes. I did.
Yeah. I was in North
Delicious.
Park. I went to Fat Boys.
Yeah, so the YMCA.
The Fat
yeah.
Boys over there?
I did. Good deli.
That did look like a good sandwich.
It was solid.
Yeah.
It's the Armed Services YMCA San Diego. So it's right there off.
So what were the rules?
You can't ask for the lockout. which I really didn't want to because, I mean, who's anybody talking about the lockout? There's nothing to talk about. But you also can't talk about, you can't ask about players that are currently on the 40-man roster.
Right.
So stupid.
So I was literally, you know, as you would, as you can imagine, Darren.
So nice weather, right, Bob?
Right.
Hey, Bob.
Right.
How's
so,
it going?
Yeah. So
what's your middle name?
That's why I was, I was like tossing and turning, like, I need to, how do you ask this question when you cannot specifically ask about players on the team? So yeah.
So what'd you come up with?
So I said, are you aware of anyone in the organization involved in a kind of motorcycle accident? Because then it's very broad.
Yeah.
Because then that could be anybody. It could be someone from the PR department. It could be, you know, it could be anything. It could be someone on the coaching staff. It could be a groundskeeper. Anyone in the organization. Has anyone been in a motorcycle accident that you're aware of? And he clearly knew what I was talking about.
Really?
Or who I was talking
you
about.
You couldn't slip that one past Bob Melvin, huh? Try as you might. That Bob Melvin, he saw right through that line of questioning.
Yes.
Wow, that's a shocker.
Yes, I'm very subtle.
And what did he say? And we'll play it later.
Yeah, we'll play it shortly. But pretty much, like he says, I know what you're talking about. Don't try and slip one past me. And he goes, I believe I know what you're talking about, and everything seems to be good there. So, if people are like worried about it, like what happened, there's panic mode, and what does this do to the jersey value of the thing that sold for $212,000 on Fanatics?
Oh my goodness, I hadn't even thought about that, Marty. The timing of that. Somebody yesterday was like, "Yo, that thing could have been worth $500,000."
Oh, come on. Hey,
just saying.
No, but just based on what he was able to say, it seems like things are good. Things are good.
What he was able to say. So he, like everybody else, getting information via Twitter, I'm sure.
Right. What I should have asked was, listen, how many burner phones have you purchased since the lockout?
Yeah, you should have held up the report to him and made him read it.
Right.
Without you asking.
Right. Are you even allowed to say the name?
What do you think about this?
Well, I wonder if you could have called Fernando Tatis Jr., and you could have talked to Tatis while Bob Melvin was standing
like
by.
Like on speakerphone?
Yeah. But Bob couldn't talk, but he could talk to Marty, and Marty could talk to Junior.
Now, if this is correct, you can't even call the baseball, like A.J. Preller and Bob Melvin, they can't even be in contact with players' agents, correct? According to the rules. Right?
I don't know.
It's so stupid. I mean, what do you mean you don't know? No, it's really stupid. But you remember when,
expert?
Do you remember when the Cardinals fired... what's his name? Mike Schilt, their manager, and they got like, they had to get like special permission from Major League Baseball to go ahead and have their press conference. It was since it was during the postseason. If you're, can't there be an exception? Like, listen, if something happens to your player, that's, you know, serious. A motorcycle accident is serious. Are you telling me you really cannot, you're not allowed to be in contact? Couldn't you get special permission? They listen. You're talking. This isn't about money. This is life. This is life and death. This
I'm
is
taking
important.
The fine. I don't
this
care.
This is health.
Like I don't care.
It's just
stupid. I'm contacting Tatis. You want to find me? Find the organization. That's fine. He's more important than this stupid lockout.
The actual tweet itself from last night, and I am using Google Translate. Not gonna embarrass myself. I will do that from time to time, and I am trying to learn, but I will just read it translated. From Spanish by Google. We are informed that Fernando Tatis Jr. has suffered a slight motorcycle accident 2 days ago. According to sources, the San Diego Padres star has no serious injuries, was treated at a medical center in that province. The province of Higuaín. I believe I have that right. I don't know. I hope so. This is a report from Baudilio Jimenez. I don't know who that person is. But it has been confirmed to the point where actual credible reporters, like Kevin Acey, are reporting on such a thing at the Union Tribune. Mm. And Bob Melvin is generally aware of some hypothetical scenario in which somebody, a human being, was involved in a motorcycle accident.
Hypothetical.
Hypothetical situation in which a human being connected to the Padres may or may not have been involved in a motorcycle accident. Well, hopefully. I mean, these are the things that keep general managers and fans up at night.
Must hate the offseason, especially an offseason like this.
Yeah. Usually you think about it more in terms of like NFL guys. You know, those guys seem to gravitate towards that sort of thing. But, you know, hopefully he's wearing a helmet. Hopefully it's a learning lesson. Hopefully this is something you just put in the rear view and you move on with your life. But that's startling when you see that sort of stuff and you think on December 7th, what? And hopefully it is what it appears to be on the surface and nothing more. But it is bizarre to be in this lockout, to have something like this, which would grab your attention any day of the year and not really be able to follow up on it, not be able to connect on it, not be able to report on it, not be able to get any information on it. Even information that would be good, hopefully would be good. It's bizarre. But it's 2021 and it's a lockout. So there's your Padre news for the day. We will spend our time talking with Greg Rosenthal and Ryan Cartje coming up a little later on in the program. He covers the USC football program. Mm-hmm. So we'll spend some time on that. All right. We'll hear from Bob Melvin.
Yes.
Bo Mel?
Yes.
Did you refer to him as Bo Mel?
I did not. If I had more time, I did want to ask him, like, what do you want to be called? What do people call you? What do your players call you when they were allowed to talk to you? What does AJ Preller call you? So, yeah, I would like to get into quirky things like nicknames and, you know, what he likes around San Diego. But it was limited time. And, again, it was a little bit different. I mean, it was the first real opportunity to speak with him one-on-one. But... But you can't talk about the players. So that kind of lives you. So your options are a little bit limited. So I did ask about, you know, some of the coaching hires, which I believe they will. I mean, they aren't official yet. So he didn't want to comment on that either. So it was.
So what did you guys talk about?
Great interview. Can't wait. So find it at sportssd.com coming up a little later on today.
So you can't talk about the coaches. Can't talk about the players. And so.
Anybody well, don't you have a life? Can't you talk about other stuff? You should have talked about television. You should have asked who he liked in the F1 race this weekend in Dubai. Maybe he's an F1 fan.
I should have asked him. Listen,
should have talked about wine. I heard he's a big wine guy.
Okay, I'm going to leave that to you because, why? Darren, because you're well aware of my wine choices. And so I don't think that I'm qualified to go ahead and talk about wine.
You make decent choices.
Yeah, but I'm not like...
Decent?
Look, do you see his face when
I see
that?
It, yeah.
And do you see him laughing right now?
Yeah. You do. Okay.
He's mocking you.
I'd go drink a bottle of wine with you.
You said I make decent...
I didn't let you pick.
No. You said I make decent choices for a Tuesday night.
Yes.
You won't ever
That's
let me...
an important night to drink wine.
Yeah.
There's a difference between Tuesday night spaghetti wine and what you're going to open on a Friday or a Saturday.
So you would never let me pick Friday night wine, would you?
Anyway.
See? Do you see?
Yeah.
Right. So...
Yeah. It says all
anyway,
you need to know right there.
Yeah.
Anyway, text us 70470, first word of the text, XTRA. Jim said it in the update. This is tremendous news. This made my morning. This made my day. This might have made my week.
Wow.
Tiger Woods has confirmed himself that he's going to play in something called the PNC Championship, which is going to be in Orlando, Florida. This is for major champions. This is a father-son event. This isn't the Masters. This isn't the U.S. Open. This is a bit of the silly season, what they refer to in golf. And this is part of it. But it is a cool event. It's for fathers and sons. Tiger Woods is going to play with his son, Charlie. The reigning champ is Justin Thomas, who last year played with his dad. So you don't have to even be a parent. It's a father-son event. Kind of cool. Why they do it in December, not sure. Just because it's an open weekend on the calendar. But it's at the Ritz-Carlton in Orlando. So no travel for Tiger. Not that he doesn't travel.
The Ritz-Carlton in Orlando.
Man, private jets and all
I
that sort of
Steve
stuff.
I hope Steve Sands can make it to that event. Poor guy.
I know. I had the text in this morning and said, don't know what your plans were, but you better be out there because this is going to be on NBC this weekend on NBC. Tiger Woods going to be back out there with his son, Charlie. Now, maybe this event escaped your view in years past, and that's fine. I don't know that I've ever sat and watched a single minute of it, but I've seen highlights of it. I'm generally aware of it.
I don't think we've ever booked anyone to go ahead and preview that event. Especially in December, there's so much going on. There's usually, you know, there's college football, there's football, there's NFL, there's the all-important NBA games.
Right.
Steph Curry tonight. Hey, usually there's a hot stove talk.
Oh, man. Can't get enough of that.
Now we're in lockout talk.
Lockout talk.
Yeah.
Motorcycle accident report talk.
But this year, though.
It's just a cool event. You know, it's a really, really cool event. You know, father, sons, I'm sure that resonates with people for different reasons. For me, it's just all about Tiger. Like, I just want to watch Tiger Woods back out there competing on a golf course. For those of you that have sons or are sons and have close relationships with your dad, and maybe the bond is golf, then this is a cool event to watch. Like I said, sometimes it's major champions and their dads. Sometimes it's major champions and their sons. But this event last year got a lot of run because this was really Tiger's son, Charlie, his coming out party, if you will, if there is such a thing for an 11-year-old. But Tiger Woods' son, obviously, as a golfer, is going to have a lot of eyeballs on him. And there was this wonderful video. I'm sure I tweeted it and retweeted it and all this good stuff from last year. But there was this wonderful video that was posted on social media last night, which is not something you say very often. And it was great because it was Tiger and his son playing together in this event in the fall or winter of 2020. And their mannerisms are identical. The way they swing the golf club. Now, a swing coach will tell you that there's some slight differences, but that's not for the show. They look the same. They swing the same. Their mannerisms are the same. They fist bump the same. They walk. They follow their shots down the fairway the same. They follow their shots on the green the same. They high five. I mean, it is Tiger and his mini-me. And you can say whatever you want to say about Tiger. We went through this when we talked to Sands last time about Tiger reemerging in the Bahamas. That Tiger had emerged for the first time since February, since this horrific wreck up in L.A. County. And Tiger, yes, he was a horrible husband. There's nothing else you can say about him. I would caution everybody, though, that how it appears oftentimes on the surface, we get a chance to be around sports. How it is sometimes on the surface isn't exactly how it is in the home. Even when things publicly blow up the way they blew up on Tiger Woods. But yes, you can say, hey, he's a rotten husband. But there's always been this story of Tiger with his dad Earl, his mom Tita, right? There's always been that connection. We've known who his parents are. We know who his dad was. We know how involved they were, how much they traveled. So to see now, to have had Tiger Woods in our lives long enough that we are aware of three generations of this family, from Tiger's mom and dad and how involved they were, how they met. We know their story. All of you know their story. Their dad, former Special Forces, met the mom overseas. Mom still heavily involved in his life, travels around, very involved, help him get back on the straight and net, right? So there's been a lot. There's been a lot going on with Tiger, his parents, now Tiger, him as a dad with his son, with his 12-year-old playing in this event. Again, I'm not telling you that he's the husband of the year or the partner of the year because you know, we all know what happened. And it happened very publicly. And he's a very flawed person. And most of us are flawed human beings. And that's okay. I sort of like that about Tiger, that he isn't this perfect character, that he's not this perfect figure in life. He's got some texture to him. He's had some high-profile mistakes. But you could never, ever discount how important family was from him, his parents, him, now his son. So I think it's going to be a really cool thing to watch this weekend. And the fact that Tiger Woods is back out there on a golf course, I don't know what it's going to look like. There's been some video that's been posted of him swinging a club, putting on the red shirt, hacking it around a little bit. It's just great to see. It'll be great to see him and his kid this weekend.
Yeah, if they walk out in the red shirt, I mean, who watching isn't going to get chills? And I know that SI just put out, and I put it on the rundown, put on like their Sportsman of the Year already. They announced, you know, Tom Brady, who's like 55 years old and playing, you know, great football at this point. But I mean, you could literally, just the fact that that Tiger is playing in that event after almost dying in the presser we heard last week about, literally, I mean, he was in the hospital for months and he was facing amputation and had to, you know, get a power of attorney in case that was needed. The fact that he is back on the golf course, I could easily make the argument for him as Sportsman of the Year, that he survived and he somehow, I mean, that he's made his way on there. That is remarkable. I'll be watching.
Tiger and Charlie finished seventh in this event last year. We'll see. I mean, him being out there, to me, is the win. Now, there are going to be a lot here. There's a lot going on. There are going to be a lot of golf people who are going to be looking and going, man, look at that. He just can't swing or he doesn't have the stamina. And that's okay. Like, you're putting yourself out there. Tiger Woods is putting himself out there. He's going to expose himself to that type of analysis. But I think also it's just, wow, what a great story that a guy and his son are going to go out there and they're going to play in this event. And this guy's been here since the 90s, since the early 90s. He's been out there longer than that. A kid was on The Tonight Show when he was just this little prodigy with his dad, Earl. So now to see this go from parents to son, son to father to new son, it's just, you know, it's a cool story. Like I do. I think it's a really, really cool story and something worth watching upcoming this weekend. I don't have a lot. I just think it's great to know that that's happening. I don't know that he can compete. I don't know that he's going to be any good. There's going to be a lot of analysis about the swing and how far the drives go, all that sort of stuff, whether he can walk, whether he has to drive. And you do a little bit of both. This isn't a standard PGA Tour event. But just him out there with the sun and seeing the mannerisms, I think, is a really cool thing. So I'm happy to see that. And I'm really happy for Steve Sands that he gets to be involved in that broadcast. It's an amazing life that Steve Sands has. Yeah. All right, coming up, we'll hear from Bob Melvin. Set up the rest of the radio program, plus your text.
Limited time.
All right, text us 70470, first word of the text, XTRA.
I know what that's for.
What's it for?
Repairs.
Yes.
There you go.
Serenity now. Serenity now. Serenity now.
Woosah. Woosah.
Did not need that text. Absolutely did not need that text. Best bets coming up here in a little bit. Yes, I have survived the attempted installation of a cooktop at my old place. I say attempted because we had to abort in the middle of it because it was the wrong cooktop. Serenity now. Now there's an issue with the new place. There's just a lot going on. So one other quick thought here on baseball, since I know some of you are jonesing for baseball talk, and there's just, you know, there's not a lot. You know, there's just like nothing. So I heard this on this radio station, as a matter of fact, sometime last week about, you know, how all the splashy moves we're having elsewhere. Corey Seager's going to the Rangers and Max Scherzer's going to the Mets. And man, it must be fun to be a fan of one of those teams. I heard that on this station recently, as a matter of fact.
Not me.
Not Jim. I heard that on the Loose Cannons.
Oh, whoa. Hey, hey.
Heard that on the Loose Cannons.
Wait, which Loose Cannons? The morning or the afternoons?
Afternoon.
Okay.
And how there was a little bit of envy. I wish that was us this offseason. Why wasn't that us this offseason? I remember a bunch of years ago. It was 2015, 2016, somewhere in that range. There was a rumor out there that the Padres were thinking about trading Justin Upton to the Mets. And in exchange, they were going to get a pitcher named Michael Fulmer. Remember the name Michael Fulmer? I kept tabs on Michael Fulmer because he turned out to be a pretty good player. And the Padres had another couple of months of Justin Upton and whatever he turned into in the draft. And I remember a listener probably on Twitter saying, as I proposed that trade and said, I think that that's a trade that might make a little bit of sense. I think I have that right. I think it was Justin Upton, Michael Fulmer. Somehow, some way, he ended up in Detroit for Cespedes. I don't remember the details, and they're not important. But I remember a listener going, yeah, but that guy's just a number three starter. And I remember thinking, you know, you're in the middle of a show, and you should probably have spent a little more time thinking about it. But I remember going, yeah, I guess they must know more about this minor league player than I do, because Michael Fulmer had yet to really even be a pro. He was a pro, but he had yet to be a big leaguer. And I remember thinking, oh, yeah, he's just a three. And I went and I took that exact line, and I was having a conversation with a bunch of baseball people one day, and I used it, and they looked at me like I was crazy. They're like, what do you mean just a three? Don't you realize how you win in this league? You think everything is about always getting aces? You think everything is about always making splashy moves? You think everything's always about spending the most amount of money? The way that you win in baseball is you win by having good number threes and good number fours. Everybody's got a one. Everybody's got a two. Not everybody's got a good number three. Not everybody's got a good number four. That's the way you win. And I remember that. That was an important learning lesson for me. Even after, you know, all these years in the business, not that I've ever claimed that I knew it all. Sometimes some of you accuse us of that. But I was a learner. I was like, yeah, yeah. Like, they're thinking about that. But, you know, it just turns out that I guess it was just because Michael Fulmer's a number three. And truth of the matter was, I didn't really know who he was. I just relied on somebody else who probably knows more about minor league baseball than I, saying that he was a number three. And I was like, yeah, but so what? What does that mean? Like, what sort of stupid logic is that? Like, you wouldn't trade for a really, really good number three. And as it turned out, Michael Fulmer is a pretty good pitcher.
Isn't Musgrove like a three?
Yeah. I mean, he's a really good number three, especially in a rotation with Blake Snell and Yu Darvish. And that's how you're going to win. So the idea, frankly, the Padres have won the offseason several times. They've won the offseason several times. And if the blueprint for this offseason, even with the lockout, is somehow to plug a couple of holes, build a little bit of depth, stabilize this operation, get a little bit of calm into that clubhouse, get somebody in there who's an adult like Bob Melvin. Not that Tingler wasn't, but Tingler was in over his head, especially with a unique clubhouse of characters. This is the right guy for this. And if that's the approach, that's okay. They've won the offseason before. It's okay. AJ Preller has more offseason championships than he has winning seasons. So I'm okay with an approach that maybe isn't as splashy. I'm okay if this doesn't turn into Nick Castellanos. If this doesn't turn into Max Scherzer.
They've never won when they won the offseason.
No, and it usually goes poorly.
You don't want
it usually goes badly.
You don't want that title.
No.
Let the Rangers have it because they have won this offseason so far.
They've already made a splash, too, by the way. Like, Bob Melvin, I think, is a splash.
That's pretty significant.
I do, too. But if Nick Martinez is somebody who we might not know a lot about, or Robert Suarez, that doesn't mean it's bad. You know, it doesn't mean it's bad at all. It might mean it's very good to just bring in guys who can plug some holes, who can give you a little bit of depth, who can give you a little bit of stability. I don't need any more AJ Preller t-shirts out there. I don't need an AJ We Trust t-shirt or Rockstar GM t-shirt. I don't need any more of that. I need some good, smart moves. Sometimes splashy is a bit overrated. I know it's good for us, and it's good for a lot of you, and people love posting pictures of AJ Preller on his phone, and people love doing all that. Jim is raising his hand. Jim is amongst the many of you who do that. But sometimes it's okay to go a little bit understated. And if you believe that last year was the right idea, instead of rebuilding, maybe retooling, maybe just stabilizing things a little bit.
Steady.
Let's remain consistent with this. Maybe there's still an opportunity to move one of these contracts, move some pieces around. That's okay, too. Some of the more successful franchises don't always go and gravitate towards splashy. I mean, listen, I might be dead wrong about this, but even the Dodgers, keeping Chris Taylor to me was a really good move for the Dodgers, if I'm going to give him credit for something. And, you know, this is where analytics and data-driven people will tell me that I'm nuts. But not having to spend $350 million on Corey Seager, but keeping a guy like Chris Taylor who does so many things for them and plays so many different positions, giving them a little bit of financial flexibility. I'm not telling you that there aren't disappointed fans and that Corey Seager is a worse player or that Chris Taylor's a better player than Corey Seager. But the Dodgers have made splashy moves. They've also declined to spend a bunch of money just for the sake of spending it. And they're pretty good. They know what they're doing. And sometimes you just got to let it play out. I think sometimes you got to see what you got. Even now, it's become habit for people to suggest that they're still going to go out and get Josh Hader. I read that in a Dennis Lynn column, and maybe he's right. But it doesn't always have to be Brian, and it doesn't always have to be Castellanos, and it doesn't always have to be Josh Hader. Sometimes it might be good enough with Martinez and Suarez and having a little bit of depth in the minor leagues. Sometimes that's really the best approach to building. To give yourself a little bit of flexibility, build up some depth so you don't end up having to go dumpster diving at the end of the year looking for starters, especially when you just did a lot of the splashy stuff last year. You just went out there and just got Snell and Musgrove and you, Darvish. So, you know, and not ruling anything out, I think they would be a better team with Castellanos, frankly, but there might be more opportunity there to take a page from the Giants book from a season ago and not go out there and push all of your chips into an offseason splashy move. Just see what you got if you believe that that should have been better than what it was and it needs some refinement and some stability and some tranquility and just to calm things down in there just a little bit. Maybe that's what this is. Get rid of coaches who are antagonistic towards players. Maybe that's going to be a real good thing for this club. Get rid of coaches who were flat out antagonistic towards players. Maybe that would be a really, really good place to start this offseason instead of going after the top prize free agent. So, again, going back to the whole Michael Fulmer, like it's okay. It's okay sometimes to go and get a three because sometimes that's how you end up winning. And sometimes that's the actual right move, even if it doesn't do a lot for sports talk radio.
Are you
right?
Saying like slow and steady wins a race? Is this like is this like the tortoise and the hare? The Padres this offseason, they're the tortoise?
They've been the hare.
Yeah.
It's okay.
They've been exciting. Oh, yeah.
And sometimes when you wait, good things happen. Like the Dodgers, they lost Seager and Scherzer. Mm-hmm. The Giants lost Gosman, Posey retired. Like, the division is not going to be the same as it was this year. And other teams around them in the division have theoretically gotten worse because they've lost big-time players. And
if you believed in what you were doing a year ago at this time, then, you know, even with another year added on the Darvish and another year, who knows with Snell, but maybe Snell will actually like his pitching coach.
Right.
Maybe he'll actually like his pitching coach and maybe they can square this guy away with a panic room or whatever those things are called.
Clevinger can stay healthy.
Yeah.
A panic room?
What was it that he likes doing? Get him on a jet ski, buy the guy a wetsuit, let him get in the Pacific Ocean. Let him figure this out.
The mystery room, right?
Mystery room. What's it called? The escape room.
Escape room, yeah.
Yeah, it's a fun thing. I've done that.
Real fun.
So maybe that's the approach. Again, they're not sharing their offseason plans with me, and maybe after the lockout, they'll be rushing out there and buzzing a bunch of agents and getting Castellanos and Bryant, and we'll make another T-shirt for AJ Preller. I don't know.
But
I think it's okay to take this type of approach. I don't think anybody needs to be envious of the Mets or envious of some of these other clubs or envious of the Texas Rangers. We've had those moments here in San Diego, and it's got us nowhere. Sometimes it's okay. Like, I believe in what this is. I believe this is going to move in the right direction. Plug a couple of holes, build a little bit of depth, bring in a manager that everybody's going to respect, bring in a coaching staff that everybody's going to respect, and you'll be better off, especially if there's a little bit of regression at the top of the standings. There you go.
Wow. That was good, Darren.
Thank you. Now, it's totally not what anybody wants to hear.
No.
What you guys want to hear is Castellanos and Brian.
That was good. That was really nice. Thank you for that. And you know that right now, Jim's like jotting down notes, and he's going to go completely the other direction and do
a Castellanos. I want
right.
Brian.
Or it's a failure.
Yeah, I want other pitchers.
How can you let the Rangers win the offseason?
That's unacceptable.
Yeah. I think it was Orenberger. He's like, man, I'm kind of jealous of the Mets fans. I was like,
the
dude,
Mets
come on.
Fans.
You think that's going to work there?
Oh.
I mean, that's not going to work.
Scherzer for $45 million a year.
Come on.
Yes, 38 years old.
Giving a pitcher that kind of money that stage in his career, oof, that always works. By the way, have the Mets even hired a manager yet?
I guess they're getting Buck Showalter.
Oh, they are?
Sounds that way.
Who knows?
But sometimes, again, like, you don't need to remember how like, decadent it seemed like. And then right before the season started, yeah, we're bringing in, who is the relief
Craig
pitcher?
Kimbrell.
Craig Kimbrell at the last. Sometimes, why don't you see if guys can fill roles? And like in San Francisco, sometimes they can surprise you and they can do that. That was a good move from them, I think, letting Gosman go.
Yeah.
But bringing Di Sclafani back, I think, was a good move.
And
too.
Alex Buddy, Wood.
But he's only a three. Well, that's how you win.
Cobb.
That is how you win. Not everybody's got to be an ace.
You can
you don't
win
always
with
have
five
to go
threes.
And chase for those guys.
You can win with three threes.
Well, I think you need a one.
Probably need
but
four.
I like three threes.
You need a one, like but it's threes. Okay to have some threes in there too, because building a bit of depth, I think, is a really, really good thing. All right, been sitting on that baseball segment for about 2 weeks.
Wow.
There you go, everybody.
.com. They make it easy.
Greg Rosenthal, NFL Network, coming up at the top of the hour.
Woosah. Woosah.
Hey, I just want to give a shout out to one of the executive board members of the Locals, the supporters group for San Diego Loyal. His name is Jerry Jimenez, who probably didn't wake up today thinking that he was going to get a text from my wife.
Oh, it's gotten to that point?
That's what we're doing. Shout out, Jerry. I love Jerry. Great human being. All right. Your text coming up in about an hour. Now, we have two different things to give away today. Should we mix it up? Speaking of Jerry, Jerry does a ton of work with the Sockers. 15-time champion Sockers return home Sunday, December 19th for the home opener, Marty, against who? Chihuahua Savage. That's right. 5 p.m. for the raising of the 15th championship banner and the ring ceremony for the returning champs. Tickets available, 866-799-GOAL. Online at sdsockers.com/tickets. We have a 4-pack for the opener on the 19th. We also have, let's see, what is this here? 4-pack of tickets. The holiday market at Gallagher Square. It's open. Music, light displays, artisan vendors, seasonal F&B food and beverage appearances from your favorite holiday characters. Make it fun for the whole family. Holiday festivities run every day until December 24th. You can visit Padres.com/holiday market to buy tickets. 4-pack to give away tomorrow night to tomorrow night's holiday market.
Wait, did you say what? Did you just say?
The holiday market at Gallagher Square is now open. Live music, magical light displays, artisan vendors, seasonal food and beverage. Appearances from your favorite holiday characters. Make it fun, Marty, for the whole family.
Your favorite holiday characters.
Holiday festivities run every day until December 24th. Visit Padres.com/holiday market and you can buy tickets. Now, coming up on the show today, we have a 4-pack of tickets to give out to tomorrow night's holiday market.
Oh, okay.
So these are very specific for tomorrow night.
Okay. Got it.
Very specific
for
tomorrow night.
That's great.
Now, can a Padre player attend this?
That's such a great question. Are they allowed to be at Petco Park?
I don't know. Maybe that would be one of those chance encounter things.
Like, I think they would have to buy a ticket.
Like, hey, Musgrove, why don't you go walk around with your family and I'll just happen to bump into you and go, oh, hey, what are you doing here? How about a 5-year extension?
What a coincidence.
Yeah,
I like that.
All right. Bob Melvin. We'll get to that coming up in hour number two.
I knew you were going
to. Time for our best bets of the day, brought to you by Valley View Casino and Hotel.
Best bets brought to you by Valley View Casino and Hotel, San Diego's favorite.
Jim,
My best bet is that the Padres have talked to Tatis.
Okay. Probably a good bet. Marty?
Darren, my best bet is that the event that Tiger's playing with his kid will be the most watched golf event on TV in this calendar year.
Probably.
Okay. More than the Ryder Cup?
The ratings for that event this weekend, I know you love ratings, they're going to be pretty big. Like,
yeah, people will watch.
NBC, right? Covering it?
NBC.
Yeah, they're like,
yeah, I mean,
yes.
Golf fans are older, so they still watch television.
I don't care if Tiger, you know, shanks a ball into the woods. I just want to see him out there.
Tiger, shank it into the woods. I'm with you on that. That'll be worth watching.
Mm-hmm.
Just to see him. Just to see, like, the miracle of him.
You're alive.
Losing a limb, and 9 months later, he's out there on a golf course.
Well, think of the footage that he posted of just him swinging a golf club.
Millions of views.
Right?
Which time? Twice. Two different ones.
Yeah.
Hey, he's putting himself out there so people can see this sort of stuff. There's a reason for it. Tiger always has a plan. My best bet for those that follow European football, I'm turning off Barcelona and Bayern Munich. I mean, we're on our way to the NIT of European football, on our way to Europa League. Europa League updates coming your way here on Extra 1360. Bad run, bad spell, but I'm going to turn this off and move on with my life because this wasn't pretty at all. Losing 2-0 at half, probably not going to get much better in the second half. So yes, I'm not trying to sound like a fair weather fan, but it is over. For Barcelona on their way to Europa League, the NIT of European football, which I like. I do like the NIT. Might actually have a chance in this tournament. No chance in the Champions League. We'll move on. First time since 2001 didn't advance to the knockout rounds. Text us 704-704, first word of the text, XTRA. When we come back, Greg Rosenthal is going to talk to us about the NFL and who knows what else. What are you laughing at?
Do you like... Which Greg Rosenthal? You like the non-NFL Greg Rosenthal more, don't you?
I like both.
Well, I think you have a favorite.
I don't know about that. Have you ever listened to the other podcast?
He's sneaky funny.
It's not sneaky.
Okay, he's... not.
Marty, he's flat out vulgar.
Love it.
And they talk about... Have you ever listened to the podcast that he does?
I've listened to portions.
With his buddy who's the comedian?
It's just kind of weird.
No, I haven't.
It's just... That's like a guy thing. That's
yeah,
a
there's
weird,
a lot of...
Yeah.
Like penis talk.
Why?
I don't know. You'd have to ask
him. I don't want to ask him. You ask him. You're talking to him next.
Well, we are talking to him next. And I don't know what direction this conversation will turn. But it's worth sticking around and finding out. Greg Rosenthal, NFL Network.